It's time for Northwestern Outdoors Radio, the show focusing on fishing, hunting, outdoor recreation, destinations, and conservation in the region where you live and play. Northwestern Outdoors is brought to you by Max Lure Company, Sportsman's Warehouse, and Wallowa County. And now, let's see what's going on in the field and on the water with your host, John Cruz.
We're starting things off today with a really interesting story from the Associated Press out of southern Idaho, where a rancher has lost 54 lambs in recent months. What caused the death of these sheep? It wasn't coyotes or wolves or cougars or bears or humans. No, the unlikely predators of these lambs are the bald eagles who live on the rancher's property near Murtaugh Lake. An Idaho Department of Fish and Game biologist says eagles strike from above using their talons, which can sever internal arteries and cause animals to bleed out. Who knew, right? And it just goes to show, once again, making a livelihood as a rancher is no easy thing. This week on Northwestern Outdoors Radio, we've got more news out of Idaho about fishing for salmon and trout, the rescue of a stuck-in-the-mud mule deer, and people behaving badly. Brian Pearson with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game will tell you more about all of this towards the end of our program today. Another guest we've got on is Michelle O'Brien. She's the former station manager for KTKN AM 920 out of Ketchikan, Alaska, which carries our sister show, America Outdoors Radio. Now, she's the executive director of the Greater Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce. We'll talk to Michelle about how the pandemic affected this city that relies so much on cruise ship tourism and about a few of the many things you can do when it comes to outdoors recreation while visiting this great city in southeast Alaska. Bob Loomis is back again for another Extended Max Minute, and he's got a great offering for several species of salmon and steelhead that ought to work well not only on the lower Columbia, but also on the Snake and the lower Rogue and other rivers too. In addition to this, we'll introduce you to Stephanie Albano. She is the woman behind the brand new company called Fanatical Fly Fishing, offering guided fly fishing trips in Idaho, Wyoming, and some exotic locales south of the border. What's unique about this? The fact that only women are able to book these trips, and the main guides the women will be working with, they are women as well. It's a unique premise that I suspect is going to get a whole bunch of bookings in a hurry. Last but not least, we've got your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week, where you get the chance to win a $25 gift card from America's premier outfitter. And oh, by the way, if you're looking for a great Father's Day gift, Sportsman's Warehouse has all sorts of things on sale your dad is going to love. Yep. It is another jam-packed show, so let's get it going the same way we do every week with another edition of Sportsman Spotlight featuring David Sparks and brought to you by the Ag Information Network of the West.
California Trout, David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight. California Trout is a conservation nonprofit that works to protect the state's wild rivers and fish. Leveraging 5 decades of science-based watershed stewardship and a track record of collaborative restoration work, it's assembled a team of scientists and project managers poised to create replicable models for fish restoration over the coming decades within California's heavily managed water landscape. Here's Executive Director Curtis Knight describing an unusual union between agriculture and fish.
Central Valley, we've really been doing some work over the past decade now to show how fish and farms can really work together. So we've been raising fish in flooded rice fields in the wintertime, salmon, and showing how if we can get these fish onto these floodplains where they historically were to rear in the wintertime, even for just 6 weeks, 2 months, they can be substantially fatter and have a much better chance of survival going out to the ocean. So we're really excited about that work there in the Central Valley.
This year is their 50th anniversary, and Caltrout has been awarded a $21.7 million grant from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife Fisheries Restoration Grant Program, State Coastal Conservancy, and the Wildlife Conservation Board, among others. David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight.
Go fishing. Help salmon and make money. You can do it through September 30th by catching northern pike minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
This is Bob. I can show you how to make $1,000 a day.
This is an alert. In 2018, 48 billion robocalls were placed to cell phones, and nearly 50% of those were scam-related. Scammers want money, personal information, and sensitive identity information. They use insurance and free vacation gimmicks as tools to get your cash and identities. Farmers, you have even more to lose when it comes to scams. Identity theft can really damage the day-to-day operations of the farm when your personal information is tied to farm accounts. If you're buying or selling items online, such as farm equipment, expect and know how to spot a potential scam. Watch for area codes that aren't local and make no sense. Another tip, scammers don't know farm lingo, so feel them out. Since robocalls are the number one complaint to the Federal Communications Commission, the U.S. Senate is now discussing a bill to make robocalls a criminal action, which would stop the calls. We urge you to call your senator today. Robocalls are robber calls.
Pheasants Forever is working hard every day to ensure there's more wildlife habitat for the future. To join us, go to pheasantsforever.org.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. Our next stop today is going to be north in the Northwest, specifically Ketchikan, Alaska. It's a very interesting place. I get to go up there from time to time when I fish at Prince of Wales Island at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. I always spend a night in Ketchikan. I always love my time there. And with us here to tell you more about this great little city is Michelle O'Brien, the Executive Director of the Greater Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce. Michelle, it's great to have you on the air.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here. And of course, I love to brag about my favorite place on earth, Ketchikan, Alaska.
As you should, as you should. It is a wonderful place, but Ketchikan's gone through some really hard times during this COVID pandemic. I mean, the town is very, very reliant on tourism, both from visitors that are flying in to come and fish in the area or do sightseeing, and especially from the cruise ships that dock at your port city every summer. How bad was it last year for the business community, and how are things looking as we roll into the summer of 2021?
Well, why don't we try to give folks a visual? So the town, the island of Ketchikan, basically has about 12,000 to 14,000 total residents year-round, right? And on any given day, if you go in downtown Ketchikan on a normal year, there probably would be 4 to 5 cruise ships just right there in a row, and sometimes one in the middle of the Narrows. And it's literally like building another skyscraper, you know, in the middle of the city with these cruise ships. But what that means, and perhaps even a better visual and to kind of give folks a clue as to exactly how important tourism is to Ketchikan, on a regular day like that, our population literally doubles. And that is from people getting off the cruise ships only. We're not talking about independent travelers who are flying up or taking the ferry or anything like that. So it really has been extremely devastating. And so luckily, you know, Ketchikan has been a town over the years that has reinvented itself many, many, many times. When mining went away, when timber went away, all sorts of things like that, Ketchikan always had to kind of reinvent itself. And we're glad to see tourism come back. I don't think that we're going to reinvent ourselves away from tourism, but I would say that it's something that touches each and every member of our community, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Now, if you visit Ketchikan, there's a host of things you can do in and around the city. Now, obviously, going to a lodge or chartering a boat to catch salmon, halibut, and cod, and lingcod, that's one thing. But there's a whole lot more. And for those folks that are disembarking from the cruise ships, there's a building right there that is full of outfitters with adventures you can book. Tell our listeners more about this building, some of the more popular things that folks do when they come in from the cruise ships to get outdoors.
Well, and that's interesting that you would say that, because believe it or not, the independent travelers also book those tours. But if you walk in the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau building right there on Berth 2, you can't miss it. They've got all sorts. I mean, the array of things that you can do is staggering. I was talking to an independent traveler earlier this week, and they were asking about some interesting things to do. And they had no idea that, believe it or not, Ketchikan has amazing snorkeling. Like, who would have thought great snorkeling is in Ketchikan, Alaska? Another cool thing that I really like and people enjoy
Hold on. I'm cutting you off right there. You're right. Who would have thought? Where are you snorkeling in Ketchikan? And you must be in a dry suit if you're doing so, right?
You are. In fact, I actually did that tour, and it was a little chilly. It's just south of town, and you're kind of right off the shore there. And there were a number of people in my group who were actually avid divers and snorkelers who had been all over the world. And they said that Ketchikan had better snorkeling than Belize.
Wow. All right. Sorry to cut you off, but I just couldn't let that one go. Please continue.
Well, you know, there's a ton of different neat things that you can do. You can always do the float plane rides out to the Misty Fjords. Allen Marine has a wonderful kind of natural tour out there that's very comfortable for maybe those that are less active. But another fun one that I love is the Zodiac. Zodiac Tour is a self-driven kind of boat, and there you are in this Zodiac boat driving around looking at seals on the little islands just, you know, off the coast here, and perhaps seeing whales and all sorts of neat things. And so that's a really fun tour as well. So unique tours, some of the expected beautiful tours that people know and love, but it's all right there in that building, and you can kind of take advantage of a whole bunch of different things.
Oh, you certainly can. And, you know, I know that wildlife watching tours are definitely being offered. And again, folks, you got whales out there. You've got humpback whales. You've got orca whales, also known as killer whales. And you've also got bear watching available, too. You've got tons of black bears around there, don't you?
Yes. And I generally wake up in the summertime and hope that they're not in my backyard or in the garbage. Yes, they're everywhere. But a great place to take a look at the bears in a really cool environment is south of town. There's a zip lining and a forest walking tour. And you're elevated on a platform above where the bears are. And it's right out near the salmon hatchery. So obviously there's tons of fish as well. That's a really great tour to do as well. And I think if you're coming in for several days, or if you're, you know, on a ship, maybe in for like 4 or 5 hours, that's a great option as well.
Let's get back to Misty Fjords National Monument. Why don't you describe this place and why it's so popular with float plane tours?
John, I don't know if words can adequately describe the staggering beauty out in Misty Fjords. It is so peaceful and breathtaking. You've got waterfalls coming down these sheer rock cliffs that are several hundred feet high. You've got beautiful, clear, green water. You've got, believe it or not, native art on the walls out there, on the rocks. And then, of course, you have this stunning rock right in the middle. And as I mentioned before, you know, you can see it by air, and I've done that, and it's just, it takes your breath away. Or you can leisurely cruise out aboard one of the Allen Marine catamarans. And so I always recommend that one to some folks who are maybe traveling with older folks or family members who aren't as mobile. But, you know, you just can't lose when you head out to the Misty Fjords.
Oh, sounds fantastic. Now, if you're sticking in town, obviously there's a host of shops and restaurants and other businesses you can visit. But you might want to bring a fishing pole, too, because you've got some pretty good fishing right off a bridge in downtown Ketchikan.
Yeah, you know, I always have to giggle to myself, and usually in the July and August time frame, when it gets, you know, sunny and kind of warmer, a kind of storied tradition in the summertime with the local kids is there's a big red bridge right at the mouth of Creek Street. And so, you know, the visitors will walk up and you'll see, you know, 15 or 20 people with their poles over the edge, you know, grabbing those salmon right as they're coming up the creek. But then on the other side, you've got probably 10 or 15 kids who climb up the bridge and jump off.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, lots of photos that you can see being taken when that is going on.
Well, I love that. One other thing we should mention, the huge native influence. I understand when it comes to totem poles, you've got more in Ketchikan than anywhere else in Alaska.
Yes, we do. And the place to go to see those totem poles, there's actually a couple different places. You can go north to Totem Bight, or you can go south to Saxman. And the neat thing about Saxman is it's a beautiful, beautiful park, dozens of poles out there, but they have a carving shed that's home to one of the world's most renowned carvers, Nathan Jackson. He has literally poles all over the world. And there's a kind of a glass window on the side of the shed there, and it's beautiful, and you can stand there and you can watch him. He's working on totem poles right in front of people. He works year-round, but, you know, people are really fascinated by that, and they have no idea that this gentleman, who's rather diminutive in stature, and he's getting older now, they have no idea that literally he is one of the world's most famous carvers.
Wow. So much to see and do in such a beautiful little town. That's Ketchikan, folks. And if you want to find out more about all the things you can do there, maybe plan a trip. I've got two websites for you. Number one, visit-ketchikan.com. That's where you want to go to plan your visit, visit-ketchikan.com. And if you want to check out all the businesses and see who the members of the Chamber of Commerce are and start picking some places to go visit when you're there, go to ketchikanchamber.com. That's ketchikanchamber.com. Michelle, you sure make me want to come back to Ketchikan, and I'm glad I'm doing so in about 3 weeks.
Oh, I can't wait to see you.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand access to the outdoors. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org.
With more of the great outdoors on Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
It's the month of June, and it's time for another Max Minute, brought to you every week by Max Lure Company. With us again, Bob Loomis. Bob, welcome back.
Thank you, John.
So, Bob, it is June. A lot of people are starting to think about salmon. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the opportunities that folks have both in the ocean and on the Columbia River right now.
Well, John, you know, that time of the year is when you get the, quote, June hogs, which are our summer fish up here. And they're coming through right at this time. And not only do you have the June hogs coming through, but you've got steelhead and you've got sockeye coming through. And one of the lures that we actually designed for those fisheries down there was what we call the Smile Blade Shrimp Rig. It's a double hook setup. We have a treble on the back, along with a 2-aught hook up above it. We designed it, obviously, to fish with prawns, shrimp, whatever. It's got a pill float in the center, along with a smile blade. So guys that are anchoring up in spots, trying to pick up steelhead, trying to pick up chinooks or sockeye, it works tremendously well.
Let me ask you a question. Is this lure that, again, uses prawns, is this going to be effective in waters like the Snake River?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we sold an absolute ton of them down in the Tri-Cities area because of the fact, you know, they're anchoring up in shallow water, finding channels where the sockeye are coming through, and, you know, we couldn't make enough of them.
Well, if you are after steelhead or big chinook or early sockeye on the Columbia River, or maybe you're fishing on the Snake or maybe some other rivers up and down the Washington-Oregon coast and you want one of these fish, get the Smile Blade Shrimp Rig, throw a prawn on there, and get ready to hook up and get into a good fish during the month of June. Bob, thanks as always.
Thank you, John.
Game-changing. That's the best way to describe the new Scent Flash UV Triangle Flasher from Max Lure Company. This 360-degree rotational inline flasher features a scent release system attracting salmon to the lure behind it like no other flasher on the market. Soak the free scent pad with any type of oil or gel, or load up the cavity with any type of bait for fishing success beyond your wildest dreams. It's the Scent Flash UV Triangle Flasher, only from Max Lure Company.
Go fishing, help salmon and make money. You can do it through September 30th by catching northern pike minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We have got Stephanie Albano on the line. She is the founder of a brand new company called Fanatical Fly Fishing, offering guided fishing trips just for women, not only here in the Northwest and Western U.S., but to some far-flung destinations as well. Steph, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, again, you're offering these fly fishing trips for trout on some very well-known Western rivers, and you've got some very exotic locales, too. Only women are invited to participate. No boys allowed. How did you come up with this business model, and why?
Well, we're at a very exciting time in women's fly fishing, and there are so many great leaders on the water, so many great guides and women owning fly shops and taking other leadership roles in the industry. So that's great. But I think today so many of us still find ourselves as the only woman on the river, or, you know, without girlfriends to go fish with. And I hear a lot of women say, well, I don't want to come out because I would be intimidated by fishing with men. Or, you know, there are always stories about how it's hard on a relationship to fish with your spouse. So these trips were created to give women an environment to come out and have a great time and fish some of these bucket list waters and learn the sport just like everyone else is doing, you know, have a great time and come out and enjoy it.
Steph, question for you here. When it comes to experience, are beginners welcome here, or are you catering more towards folks who have spent a little bit of time on the river and have their own fly rod and know what they're doing?
Yeah, we do welcome all levels. It's probably best for a three-day trip if you have been to a school or picked up a fly rod before, but we do have some great guides who are great teachers. They welcome all levels, and our Henry's Fork trip will include a two-hour casting lesson with Millie Paney, so everybody's welcome. We're excited to be out.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the rivers that you're fishing, and we'll start off, I guess, in Idaho, your home state.
Yeah, that'd be great. We have a trip on the Henry's Fork and another trip in Sun Valley, which will include Silver Creek, the Wood River, and the Salmon River.
And what are the dates for those two trips?
So the dates for the Henry's Fork trip are August 18th through the 22nd. A lot of ladies who fly fish know Carly Rowland and the Trout Hunter, and we'll be working with Carly and the guides from the Trout Hunter for those 3 days of fishing, all guided days. And then Millie Paney, also of the Trout Hunter, will be doing a two-hour casting clinic on the day of arrival. She's a phenomenal casting instructor, and we're thrilled to work with that entire team. So that should be fun. The Sun Valley trip dates are September 18th through the 22nd, and we've partnered with Silver Creek and three of the women who guide for them, Julie Meisner, Jill Clark, and Amanda Bowman. And they're phenomenal as well.
You're also heading to the Green River in Wyoming. This looks like a little bit different type of fishing than what you're going to find in the other two rivers.
You know, it's a little bit different in that I think maybe Silver Creek and the Henry's Fork hold some thoughts in people's minds about the technical water and the challenging environment. But the Green River is, in that stretch, is really a kind of a secret. I mean, Pinedale is not as well known as some of these other locations, but there's some huge fish in the Green River around that area. And so it's a lot of fun. We've partnered with Two Rivers Fishing Company, and Rusty Christensen guides for them. We'll be fishing with her and some of their other guides. It'll be a fun opportunity.
And what are the dates for that Green River trip?
Green River trip is July 29th through August 2nd.
You know, that sounds really neat. And I got to tell you, there's something special about fishing waters that don't receive all the pressure. I was fishing the Jefferson River last September. I think I saw two boats and nobody on the bank in 2 days of fishing. Then I drove over to the Madison, and it was like Interstate 5 at rush hour in terms of all the drift boats that were there. So I love the fact you're going to the Green River and you're going to be able to offer that experience where there's not many folks out there fishing and the fishing is good. Now, you've got some pretty exotic trips that are planned as well in the Bahamas and even, was it Brazil? Tell me about those.
Yeah, you bet. We'll be in the Bahamas, Andros Island at the Mangrove Key Club, February 4th through the 9th of next year, which should be some amazing bone fishing over there. Then, yes, we do have a trip to the Rio Negro for peacock bass. That trip is co-hosted with Jean Williams Bruin, who's another phenomenal guide out of Jackson. Her brother owns Nomadic Waters, and Jean has hosted trips down there. This will be her seventh trip, so we'll be co-hosting together, and we already have some phenomenal ladies interested in that trip and are excited to go down there and chase peacock bass.
One other trip that is south of the border would be to Mexico, and I understand it's with a pretty impressive guide, too.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to co-host with Patty Riley. She is an amazing guide who started her career in Jackson and guided all over the West, including Alaska. And then she went to South America. She and a partner ended up guiding down there. They were the first operation to pull a commercial permit and put a boat on the water and guide. So she's had an amazing career. She's an amazing woman, down to earth, and she'll be doing some casting lessons for us at the Pescamaya Lodge.
And the Pescamaya Lodge is located where, and what are you fishing for?
That's in Ascension Bay in Mexico. And we'll be chasing bonefish, tarpon, and permit, and whatever else swims by. It should be a lot of fun.
Oh, sounds great. You're listening to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're talking to Stephanie Albano, the founder of Fanatical Fly Fishing, offering guided trips just for women on Western rivers, and as you just heard, some pretty exotic locations too. Question for you here. How many folks are allowed on each of these trips? Obviously, you can't have 50, 60 women on these trips. So, you know, what is the hard number and the cutoff for each one of these?
Yeah, you bet. We try to keep the Western trip small to create a great environment so everybody can learn and get to know each other and have the attention on the trip that they deserve. On the Henry's Fork and Sun Valley, we'll have room for 6 women. On the Green River trip, we have room for 8 women. We're staying at the Hampton Inn on that trip, so there's a little more space for folks. And the other trips depend on the size of the lodge. So the Rio Negro trip, there will only be space for 10. And the Ascension Bay and Mangrove Key Club, we've got space for 14.
Now, are you going on all these trips yourself?
I will be there hosting these trips this first year to make sure that everything goes as it should.
All right. One last question, because there's so few people that are going, and you only have a handful of trips here. With your business model, how are you making money on this?
Well, this isn't my best profitable adventure yet. It's, you know, that's tough to do, but I think there's definitely a market for serving these folks, and hopefully we can grow it over time into something that will be, you know, able to sustain itself.
Well, I think it's some great offerings for the first year. And yes, I suspect that as your reputation grows and as people go out and have a great time, you're going to be able to offer more trips to more destinations. And then you probably will start making some money off this venture. But in the meantime, I think it's great what you're doing, offering these trips just for women of all experience levels, the opportunity to go fly fishing in some of the best destinations in the Western U.S. and also abroad. Again, the website, folks, is fanaticalflyfishing.com. That's fanaticalflyfishing.com. If you are a woman listening to this, no matter what your experience level as a fly angler, and you want the trip of a lifetime, sounds like one of these might be for you. Check out the dates again on the website. Are the costs listed there as well, Steph?
Yes, they are.
All right. So all the information you need listed right there, fanaticalflyfishing.com. Check it out. Go fishing this year or maybe early next year. And again, have the fly fishing adventure of a lifetime. Steph, wishing you the best of luck. And thanks for sharing this with us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thanks so much, John.
Nature at its finest. That's what you'll find in Northeast Oregon's Wallowa County. Paddle a kayak or go fishing at Wallowa Lake. Hike into the Eagle Cap Wilderness or soak in the views after taking the tram to the top of Mount Howard. Then take time to explore the towns of Joseph and Enterprise. No matter how you take in this country, you're sure to enjoy it. That's the beauty of Wallowa County, and that's why we're home to one of Oregon's seven wonders. Find out more at WallowaCountyChamber.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand access to the outdoors. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and it's time for our monthly check-in with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. With us today is Public Information Specialist Brian Pearson. Brian, great to have you on the air again.
John, it's always good to be back.
Well, I keep having you and Roger on the air because there's always so much going on in the outdoors in Idaho. And I think the big news we have to talk about right now is the latest Chinook salmon fishing update. I was checking the numbers last week on, I believe it was June 2nd. There was a total of 25,000 adult spring Chinook that have passed over Lower Granite, another 5,000 jacks. That's about 10,000 more adults than last year, which is good, though we're still about 40% below the 10-year average. Having said that, though, it looks like there's going to be some new opportunities that folks can enjoy in Idaho now.
Yeah, so we opened fisheries in portions of the Clearwater River Basin and the South Fork Clearwater River. And that South Fork fishery is pretty exciting because it's a place where we haven't had a fishery for a couple of years. That season opened. It's up on Saturday, June 26th, and fishing will be allowed on Saturday and Sunday of that opening weekend, and it'll be a Friday through Monday season until it closes. And there's also the jack-only season in portions of the Clearwater River Basin, and that opened on June 5th.
All right. Well, that's good. Switching from big cold water fish to smaller big cold water fish, Idaho Department of Fish and Game has been very busy stocking all sorts of waters around the state. What are some of the hot spots you'd recommend?
Yeah, so our hatchery staff are in full swing. There's a total of 300,000 catchable-sized rainbow trout going out this month, and many of those fish are going into easily accessible and family-friendly fishing waters. So if you want to kind of break it down by region, I guess if I had to pick one stocking event for kind of all around the state, looking over at eastern Idaho, Bannock Reservoir over in Pocatello, it's probably more aptly described as a community pond. It's in the Portneuf Wellness Complex. Pretty small, around 5 acres, but it has a lot of amenities around it, and it's a really great community pond. It's getting 3,000 fish, and it's going to be a great place to bring the kids out in June for a quick fishing trip right in town if you're over there in Pocatello. Over in the Panhandle, we've got Fernan Lake. It's a popular fishing spot just outside of Coeur d'Alene, and it's set to get 6,200 trout in June, and it's received between 5,000 and 6,500 fish each month since April. So it's another great fishing spot to bring new anglers, and there's also some really great warm water fishing opportunities available. Over in the Clearwater region, I would kind of like to highlight Deer Creek Reservoir. It's a 75-acre mountain reservoir that was pretty much built specifically for trout fishing, and it's a pretty popular destination for our anglers because, one, the beautiful scenery, and two, the unique fishing opportunity it provides. It's got a reputation for producing state record tiger trout, which, if folks don't know, that's a sterile hybrid between brook and rainbow trout, and we've been stocking tiger trout there since 2014, and we have another 2,500 going out in June in addition to nearly 2,000 rainbow trout. And then closer to home for me, I'm in the Treasure Valley. It's a another fairly small water, Dick Knox Pond. It's the newest of the community ponds in the Treasure Valley, and it's located in Emmett. It's getting 1,100 fish in June, and that's the most rainbow trout we've put out there since March. We began stocking rainbow trout there in 2020, so not a long history there, but we've really ramped up, and all of that's in addition to an established warm water fishery that was already there when Fish and Game acquired the property, and there's some really great largemouth fishing out there, so you can kind of hit a variety of different species.
I like it. Folks, you're listening to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We're doing our monthly check-in with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game about what's going on in the outdoors. Now, we've been talking about fishing. Let's talk about people behaving badly, especially in eastern Idaho. Understand there was some vandalism at a hatchery, and there's been a poaching incident, too.
Yeah, so on Memorial Day weekend, I'll touch on the vandalism first. We had a case of vandalism out there at the American Falls Fish Hatchery. Our fish feed dispensers that our visitors use were smashed sometime in the evening of May 29th or early morning May 30th. And then on the 31st, those same dispensers were pulled from the ground and thrown into the water at the hatchery's fish viewing site. And, Fish and Game provides free public access to its hatcheries to give people the opportunity to see the process that goes into making and stocking fish in Idaho. So incidents like this are unfortunate, and it's particularly unfortunate in this case because hatcheries were just reopened to the public after being closed to COVID protocols. So it's unfortunate, and we are encouraging anyone that may have any information about the incidents to contact our regional Fish and Game office over in Southeast Idaho or the Power County Sheriff's Office.
And as for the poaching incident in Franklin County.
Yeah, so, we've had, and it's not just Franklin County, we've had a couple of different incidents with protected non-game species being poached. And effectively, there's only four species, all birds in Idaho, aside from game species, are classified as protected non-game with the exception of four. So if it is not a game species and if it's a bird, you should not be shooting it. Period. So we've had some incidents in Southwest Idaho with curlews. We've had a couple of incidents out in Southeast Idaho recently, a couple in other parts of the state. And I think it's worth reminding the public that if they see something, please contact Citizens Against Poaching. Be a good observer, be a good witness, and make the call.
Absolutely. And folks, a lot of times these people will brag about what they're doing too, whether it's the vandals at the American Falls Fish Hatchery or people that are shooting animals out of season or shooting birds that shouldn't be shot in the first place. They tend to brag about it. So if you hear something, if you know something, again, contact Idaho Fish and Game or pick up the phone and call the Citizens Against Poaching hotline. We don't need these people out there doing that. They need to be held accountable because they're harming the resource that we love. And you can also report these crimes anonymously too if you want to do that. Let's finish off with a feel-good story all about a deer that got stuck in the mud.
Yeah, this is a little brighter story coming out of the Memorial Day weekend. Also out of our Southeast Regional Office, we received a call about a mule deer that was trapped in, they called it a mud puddle, but it was a pretty sticky situation, a big mud bog, basically, that this mule deer was trapped up to its belly in near McCammon. And we had our senior conservation officer in the region, Nick Knoll, respond, and with a little help, a young gentleman by the name of Cole Gunter, he's a local 15-year-old, our conservation officer was able to pull the animal from the mud and send it on its way unharmed. And, without intervention in this, there's a good chance the doe wouldn't have made it out on its own. So this is just kind of, there's really no average day in the life of a conservation officer. And this is just one of the many examples of the many kinds of days that our conservation officers have. And it was a good day. It was one where they were able to work directly with members of the community and directly help wildlife.
Well, I love that. That's a good way to wrap things up. Folks, there's always a lot going on in the state of Idaho when it comes to the outdoors. If you want to find out more yourself, just go to the Idaho Department of Fish and Game website, click on the media page, and look for the latest press releases, and you'll be in the know, just like you are now, about what's going on in the Gem State. Brian, always a pleasure to have you on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
John, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Go fishing, make money, help out, and have fun. That's what the Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery is all about. From May 1st through September 30th, catch pike minnow out of the Columbia and Snake Rivers and turn them in for cash. Pike minnow eat juvenile salmon and steelhead. Each one you catch helps more juvenile fish reach the ocean. Pike minnow are worth anywhere from $5 to $8, and keep an eye out for tagged fish worth $500. Find out more at pikeminnow.org and go fishing.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
We've got time for one more shot of Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
Welcome back. Are you planning on going fishing in the next day or two? You can do so this weekend, and no license is required to do so during this free fishing weekend in Washington State. You can also fish on Saturday the 12th in Idaho without a license, and you can do the same thing next weekend in Montana. This is a great opportunity to, number one, fish out of state without those hefty non-resident license fees, and it's also a great time to introduce someone to the sport of fishing or reintroduce someone who hasn't been out in a while. As you just heard from Brian Pearson with Idaho Fish and Game, there are plenty of stocked lakes in the Gem State full of trout, and there's plenty in Washington too. And as for Montana, well, I think it goes without saying, there's plenty of trout in their lakes, rivers, and streams too, and fishing in Montana, that is always a pleasure. A reminder for you that next Sunday is Father's Day, and this week is the perfect time to take advantage of the Father's Day sale going on at a Sportsman's Warehouse store near you. Whether you want to buy him a grill or a propane stove or other camping equipment, maybe hunting gear, fishing tackle, or apparel he can wear in the great outdoors, you'll find a whole bunch of it on sale right now at Sportsman's Warehouse. And if you can't get to your local store for some reason, that's okay. You can shop online anytime at sportsmans.com. And now it's time for your Sportsman's Warehouse trivia question of the week, and it's about the American badger, that ornery, low-to-the-ground animal that loves to dig holes to find food. Here's your question, though. What kind of food are those badgers digging for? Is it A, the roots of plants, B, vegetables, or C, snakes and rodents? If you think you know the answer about what a badger likes to eat, you know what to do. Just go to our Facebook page at Northwestern Outdoors Radio. If you haven't already, please like and follow the page. Then look for the post thread where we have this question and give us your answer there. If you prefer, or if you don't do Facebook, you can always enter online through our website too. Just go to northwesternoutdoors.com, go to the Contact Us page, shoot us an email with the answer to the question, what are those badgers digging for to eat? Is it A, the roots of plants, B, vegetables, or C, snakes and rodents? As you know, one lucky person who guesses right will win a $25 gift card from America's premier outfitter.
As we wrap things up, I want to give you a heads up that next week you're going to be listening to a best of edition of Northwestern Outdoors Radio. The reason? Well, it's because I'm heading to the Bassmaster Classic at Lake Ray Roberts in Fort Worth, Texas to cover this Super Bowl of bass fishing, something you'll be hearing about on our sister show, America Outdoors Radio, and I'm pretty sure we'll sneak in a couple of interviews on this show too. I love bass fishing, and God knows I'll never be good enough to fish the Bassmaster Classic myself, but being able to go out there and cover this event, this is going to be epic. I can't wait. Here's hoping the week ahead is epic for you as well and full of fun things that hopefully you'll get to do outside while enjoying Mother Nature. Until next time, do take care, God bless, and make it a point to spend some time outdoors.